Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 18 through 23. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new being spoken into your life and your heart at this particular point on your faith journey. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let me just say it out loud. I didn't want to see the movie Titanic, and I resisted watching it for years. Everyone was raving about it, but I had no interest in it at all. Oh, and I didn't want to see the Amelia Earhart story either. It was on the History Channel. No way, no way. In fact, I didn't even watch the closing 2.1 seconds of the 1992 Elite basketball game between the Duke Blue Devils and the Kentucky Wildcats. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Okay, Jay, what's the connection between Titanic and Amelia Earhart and the 1992 Elite Eight game? Why didn't you want to watch any of these marvelous productions? Well, the answer is really quite simple. I didn't want to watch them because I knew how they were going to end. In my thinking, what's the point? I knew the Titanic was going down. I knew Amelia Earhart was going down. And I knew that Grant Hill would throw the basketball the length of the court. Christian Leitner would catch it with his hands. He then would turn to his right and then back to his left with one dribble and shoot, and the winning shot would go down as time expired. What's the need to watch all that? It's a done deal. Do you find endings to be important? Endings of things? Endings of movies? I always hear people ask, how does it end? How does it end? Or does it have a happy ending? And that's what we want, right? We want a happy ending. We want meaningful resolution. Hold that thought. Okay, this morning I want to conclude our brief conversation of Father Anthony DeMello's book, Wellsprings. We've already looked at about half a dozen or so prompts offered to us by DeMello, prompts that are designed or were designed to get us thinking about life and faith, specifically our life and our faith. Oh, have you been making your list? I hope so. Well, at the conclusion of chapter 1, at the end of the list of prompts that we have been entertaining these past few weeks, DeMello writes these words for our consideration. I choose an ending for this document, by which he means the autobiography that we've been working on, a poem, my own or someone else's, or a prayer, a sketch, or a picture from a magazine, a scripture text, or anything that I judge would be an apt conclusion to my testament. Okay, it's called the parable of the sower. Do you know what that parable is about? I read it just a few seconds ago. Do you know what the parable of the sower is about? It's about sowing. Come on, it wasn't a trick question. Okay, one day Jesus went out and sat in a boat on the edge of the water, the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. Folks gathered around on the shoreline around him to hear what he had to say. Matthew says that Jesus spoke to them in parables. You know, he told them stories. He told them stories about life. And you know, parables, stories are powerful things. They can move us. They can transport us to another world. You know, they can move our minds to new ways of thinking and understanding. Jesus said, a sower went out to sow. You know, he's talking about the kingdom of God, right? That cosmic conspiracy of goodness that was and is, still is, in the process of refreshing creation. The kingdom of God, the reign of God. Well, they asked him, what's this going to be like? What's the kingdom of God like? Well, he said, it's like a person who goes out and sows seed. And as he sows, some seeds fall in the path, other seeds fall on rocky ground, other seeds fall among the thorns, and still other seed falls into good soil. Do you see it, he said? Do you see the way the kingdom of God works? It's directional in nature. And it's directed away from self. It's centrifugal in nature. When I read the gospel lesson, did you notice something? Did you notice that it was in two parts, two separate sections? First, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 18 through 23. The parable of the sower is just the first part of the lesson. The second part of the lesson is an allegorical interpretation of the parable. The first 9 verses are about sowing, and the parable ends with the admonition, let anyone with ears listen. Then the last 6 verses are about the soil in which the seed has been sown. Let me read it to you. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. It's very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. You barely notice it. Maybe most of us never notice it, but the direction of the story changes. Suddenly, the focus is back on self. It's interesting that most of us know the gospel passage that I read this morning. We know it as the parable of the sower. But what we focus on is the allegory of the soils. We say things like, oh, I know those type people. They're the beaten down path people. They never go to church. Or maybe they are the rocky ground people, rootless people, or thorn people even. We've seen their type before. They're not like we are. We're good soil people. Yeah. Jesus said, try to envision this. A sower went out to sow. And she did so indiscriminately. Grace went everywhere. Everywhere. You know, one thing we notice early on in the gospel is that Jesus has a boundary problem. He would not be a good social distancer, let me tell you that. No. Anyway, he doesn't seem to understand the idea of insider and outsider. No. Right off the bat, he gets it wrong. He invites fishermen and tax collectors to be representatives of the kingdom of God on earth. Why didn't he call the priest, the professionals? Why didn't he call the Levites? You know, the church folks. Come on. And it gets worse. He reaches out to Gentiles, those who are of a different religious persuasion, not God's chosen people. In fact, he even warns the faithful to be careful because they just might have it all wrong. He welcomes the sinners. He works on the Sabbath. And then he breaks all the rules by redefining sacrosanct familial relationships. Someone says to Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you. To which Jesus replies, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he points to his disciples and says, here are my mother and my brothers. What? You know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. The point of sowing is a simple one. We've talked about it just about every year that I've been here, this idea of sowing. You know, the point of sowing is coverage. The hardest part of grace for us to understand seems to be that it's not about effectiveness. You know, it's not about efficiency. It's about faithfulness. The parable of the sower is a call to faithfulness. The allegory of the soils may be descriptive of reality, but it's not instructive for the work of the church. The two must not be confused or conflated. You know, I get the feeling, after reading the rest of the gospel, that maybe the reason Jesus introduces the idea of the soils is because the parable of the sower was just too much for folks to take in. You know, they just couldn't comprehend it. After all, whoever heard of sowing without regard for yield? Jesus tries to soften it a bit, right? Sure, you'll get yield, he says. But the yield might be inconsistent and come from fields whence you least expect it. Behold, a sower went out to sow. That's our story. And it's descriptive of our lives. We're sowers, and what we sow is called grace. We all know it. You know, every time I preach on this parable, I like to point out that across the ages and across the world, people in churches have heard this parable. And for the most part, at least, up until maybe the Industrial Revolution, everyone who heard this parable understood the mechanics of it. Everyone who heard it knew how to do it. You know, they knew how to sow. I mean, it's a very, very simple concept, really. You go out and you start slinging seed, and you sling it in every possible direction, knowing full well that not all of the seed will take. It's just not going to take. But you hope at least some of it will take. Do you understand what I'm saying, Jesus said? Do you understand? If you have understanding, listen. A sower went out to sow. The problem wasn't that folks gathered there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee didn't know how to sow. That wasn't the issue. The problem was they did know how to sow, but were choosing not to do so. That was just not acceptable to Jesus. I choose an ending for this document, my life story, my faith story. A poem, my own or someone else's, or prayer, a sketch or a picture from a magazine, a scripture text, or anything that I judge will be an apt conclusion to my testament. Friends, we are sowers. That's our text. That's our picture. That's the capstone of our testament. When we look back across our lives and we assess those lives and we wrestle with how we have used this one short and precious gift, maybe this image is what we need to have in mind. The image of the sower. You know, we sow grace in our world with reckless abandon. At least that's what we're called to do. That's who we are. The parable is a how-to guide. We sow goodness. And we're not called upon to assess the soil in advance. We're not called upon to get everything just right before we plant. We're not concerned about rows and spacing, you know, order. That's not our primary concern. We don't even care if the seed lands in completely barren places. That is not our concern. That's not our concern. No. We are sowers. It's called compassion. It's called mercy. It's called authenticity. It's called friendship. It's called being human. Have you ever done a grace audit? I think maybe that's what DeMello is prompting us to do. You know, he's leading us that point. You know, basically, how have we sown grace in and through our lives? Huh. Okay, it's time to make your weekly list. Make that list. How have we sown grace in and through our lives? Now, before you do this, let me just say this. We need to be careful with this because it's pretty easy to become discouraged. You know, because maybe we haven't been as faithful in sowing as we believe we should have been up to this point in our lives. I know that's true for me. In fact, it's embarrassing to me. So instead of discouragement, what we need to cling to is the bigger idea behind the image. You know, a sower sows, right? A sower sows. And then growth ensues, however limited. And then, that growth in turn becomes a source of future sowing, and thus future growth. In essence, one generation of sowers produces the next generation of sowers. And I know the image is getting a little bit messy here. That's okay. Let's go back to where we started. The end. I choose an ending for this document, a poem, my own or someone else's, or a prayer, a sketch, or a picture from a magazine, a scripture text, or anything that I judge will be an apt conclusion of my testament. Friends, the kingdom of God is not effective. It's not efficient. It doesn't follow commonly accepted business strategies. In fact, it's lavishly wasteful. It is as if a sower went out to sow seed and it went everywhere. The miracle, the mystery, is that grace begets grace. You know what I like about a lot of movies? Especially ones that I think are really good movies, is when they leave open the possibility for a sequel. Huh. So you don't really know the ending. Huh. Through our living, our sowing, we leave it open for a sequel. We leave it open, right? Hey, you know, there's no doubt about the gospel's messy. Very messy. But it's also incredibly beautiful. Because just when and where you least expect it, the kingdom happens. And lives are transformed. And you know what that means, right? We can't stop now. It's not the end. We can't stop because we have no idea how this story is going to end. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Keep sowing. Because you don't know what's going to happen. So let me say this. Whether this is your first Sunday watching our service, or you've been part of this community for decades, we would love to have you be part of us. Be part of Pleasant Grove and come sow grace with us. And you don't have to wait till you can physically be here. Wherever you are, sow grace. Sow grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.